to go? If you love Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
That was a tremendous message to get us started tonight. But Scott, I'll be honest, we didn't know what to expect. I've never heard you. That was a home run, grand slam, touchdown. Excellent. That honored the Lord. And I got a blessing from it. That was just a perfect introduction to this theme. And I'm glad I'm here. Now, I know most of you have had a busy day. How many of you had a pretty busy day? Have you had a busy day? Sometimes when you have a busy day, getting ready to go to a youth conference, and you're packing, and you travel. How many of you traveled in a van or bus with some girls that don't know how to shut up? Come on, fellas, right? Hey, right now, point to that girl in your youth department that doesn't know how to shut up. Point to her. Go ahead, right now. Now, I know how it is. And what happens is we get ready. You come off of the Sunday church services. You get packing. You have the ride, all that goes on. And you get in here for the first night, and y'all have had a tremendous spirit. You've been excited. You've jumped right in. We've gotten off to a great start. But the reality is we've got about three different groups of people here tonight. You got some people here that are on fire for the Lord. You got some people, man, they're just pumped up and they're excited. And man, yeah, come on, brother. Hey, you've got some people that are excited and they're fired up and they're walking with God. You got some people kind of in the middle. You got some people and they want to love the Lord, and at different points they've made decisions for the Lord, but maybe they're just struggling a little bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We don't always walk in the Spirit the way that we had planned to. And sometimes we get in a place in our lives where just, it's not that we want to be cold, and we're not really in that place of being ice cold, just kind of in the middle. And then the reality is, and I'm glad you're here, there's a group here that really doesn't give a rip about whatever it is I'm going to preach. In every youth department, depending on the size, the bigger the youth department, percentage-wise, there's always a number. And maybe you just started to come to church and somebody said, you have to go to a youth conference, and you're like, well, there are going to be girls there? Come on. And you came. We get to stay in a hotel. Cool, we'll stay up all night long. Absolutely. I like hotels, and we'll just, you know, knock on people's doors and terrorize the place. And there's some people here, maybe you've grown up in a Christian home, maybe your family hasn't been a Christian home, maybe you've been in church a long time, maybe you haven't been in church, but there's some people here just spiritually you're cold. That's the reality. And if you were to be honest, you haven't talked to God in a while, haven't opened a Bible in a while, and you sit in the pews and you hear the preaching, but God doesn't talk to you, at least you don't feel like He does. Can I tell you tonight, I don't care if you're in this group here that's cold, or the group that you don't really want to be cold, but you're not as on fire as you should be, or the group that's on fire for the Lord, whichever group you're in tonight, listen to me. I know you've had a busy day, and I know that you come in here with all the excitement and enthusiasm, but God wants to talk to you. Watch me. I didn't say God wants to talk to the person next to you or to your youth pastor. Now, He wants to talk to them too, but He actually wants to talk to you. You say, well, I'm in this group here. You just talked about the fact that I'm cold, I'm not close to God. But that doesn't mean He doesn't love you. And you may be in this group here and feel like, well, I've disappointed Him. I've let Him down. And God's probably just not wanting to hear from me. No, God's wanting to hear from you. More importantly, God's wanting to talk to you. And even if you're here in this group, you feel like you're on fire for the Lord, there's still something more God wants to say to you. But you've got to be able to trust God. There's a lot of young people that don't trust people because they've had people let them down in life. Are you with me? Can I tell you tonight, whatever it is that God wants to tell you, if you'll open your heart and if you'll listen and if you'll follow whatever it is that God says, it'll all turn out okay. In fact, it'll turn out better than okay. It'll turn out great. But you've got to open up your mind and you've got to open up your heart. And you can't come in here and have a bunch of walls up to whatever's going to be preached from this pulpit. We're not having this conference because we're mad at you or because we hate you. We're having this conference because we love you. And again, most importantly, God loves you. And people have prayed and sought the Lord. And we want, watch me, I didn't come from New Jersey to impress you or entertain you. And none of the men here that are going to get to preach this week, we're here to have God come and God move us and God stir us. We're not dependent on us. We're depending on the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and the power of God. But you've got to open up your heart. You've been busy today. You've been running around today. You've had the long ride, possibly. Would you bow your head where you're at right now? Would you pray a prayer of faith? You say, what do you mean by that? Would you pray a prayer, something like this? Dear God, if you'll talk to me, if you'll tell me something in these next few days, I will obey what you tell me. Now, if you're praying something like that, there may be some fear in your heart. Well, that would mean, well, let me tell you something. If it's God that told you to do something, whatever it would mean would be a good thing. And you can trust God. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to trust God. Now, I understand I'm going to preach His word. But you've got to open up your heart to God. You might be in the cold group right now. You may not have talked to God in the past 6 months. Would you please talk to Him right now? He's listening for your voice. And He said, if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. But you've got to open your heart. You've got to open your mind. Father, I pray you meet with us. I pray you give us something. Lord, you've already given us something tonight, and we want to thank you for that before we go any further. We just praise you for being our God. You're awesome. You know all things. You're everywhere. You're able to do all things. You're Lord and God and ruler and just and fair and righteous, true, holy, holy, holy. We worship you as God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Thank you that we're not in the hospital tonight. Thank you that we can be at youth conference tonight. Thank you for what we've already heard and seen and experienced and felt in our hearts. God, thank you for the group assembled here. Lord, you've perfectly brought this group together. And Lord, we know you want to stir us, and I pray that you would. Lord, I pray even as I'm praying now, I pray young people would open up their hearts, would open up their minds. God, please come into this place throughout these few days. Lord, I pray you'd do great things. Lord, for your honor, for your glory. God, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, help me not to say anything I shouldn't say. Help me to say the things that I should say. And for every preacher, Lord, I pray that same prayer. Lord, we invite you to come, and God, I pray you get glory and honor unto yourself. Lord, if there's any young people here that don't know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray they'd come to know Christ. I pray bless the group leaders, Lord. Thank you for their heart for young people, and I pray they'd get a blessing and that you'd speak to them. And Lord, we pray this in your precious and holy and wonderful name, and all God's young people said. Amen. Once upon a time, your mom called your dad, and she was excited. She told your dad they were going to have a baby. And they were so excited. Mom got sick. Mom got big. Help us, Lord. Sometimes, fellas, we're just glad we're not ladies. Are you right there? But you started growing, and you started kicking inside of her. And they went to the doctor's office, and they heard your heartbeat. And they took that little ultrasound picture home, put it on the refrigerator, showed it to everyone that came in the home. See, there it is. And they were there, and they were excited about it. And they wondered whether you're going to be a boy or a girl or not. And they picked out names. If it's a boy, it's going to be this. If it's a girl, it's this. And they picked out the names and were nervous as the big day approached, especially your dad. And then there's that famous ride to the hospital, and the dad's speeding, and mom's saying, slow down, and the pain of delivery, and the first look at you. And they cried together because you were so ugly. Come on now. And they looked, and there you were. The family came to the hospital nursery and looked through the window, and they all lied and said, what a cute baby. And there's really no cute babies because, you know, they're bald with red shriveled up blotchy skin. But they were beautiful. They thought you were beautiful. Your parents were proud, especially dad. Everywhere he went, he told everybody that he saw that he was a new dad. And they took you home to that little room that they had prepared for you, and they thought it was going to be a girl, and you were a boy, and you've been messed up ever since because that room was pink. Come on. And they fed you when you weren't able to feed yourself, and they took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself, and changed your messy diapers, took care of you when you were sick, and they've taught you a million things, and they've loved you and cared for you and prayed for you. And now I want to ask you the question, how do you treat your parents? How do you treat your parents? Look at Exodus chapter 20 in the Word of God, please. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to preach quickly tonight. We've been here for a little while, but it's youth conference, so I don't want to go too fast. There's too much work and efforts and energies and money prayer that's gone into this. And so I want you to give me your undivided attention. I don't want you to think, if your group that was the one that was late and didn't get here in time to eat dinner and you're starving, you're going to eat in just a little while. Are you with me? You're going to, later on, listen, hey, there's other stuff we'll do right now. But how many of you know the devil doesn't want you to get the message tonight? Do you know that? So how many of you like to just kick the devil tonight and just give him a shot? To do that, you've got to get your game face on. Are y'all with me? Now, I don't mean that listen to preaching look where your brain's really somewhere else. Like that, oh yeah, preacher, I'm into it, but you're thinking about quarter pounders. Come on, you're thinking about whatever it is that you eat here, In-N-Out, right? We don't have that in New Jersey, but whatever it is, you're going to eat later. Watch me, it's later. For right now, suck it up, get tough, pay attention. Don't let your brain wander off. Man, that's a pretty girl. I'm going to get to talk to her later on. Forget that for now. Zone in, pay attention. If you have a pen, I don't want you to take copious notes tonight. If I say something that you want to get hold of, buy it later on, buy a CD or something. But for right now, if you do have a pen, I like you to mark, if it's your habit to mark or underline your Bible, there's a statement that's going to jump out. We're going to look at it a few different times here in the Word of God. Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. I want you to read this first part of the verse together out loud with me. Ready? Honor thy father and thy mother. One more time. Honor thy father and thy mother. Notice that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Go there quickly, sword drill style. Matthew chapter 15. And I want you to pick it up in verse 4. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. Matthew 15, 4. For God commanded, saying, together out loud, ready? Honor thy father and mother. Again, ready? Honor thy father and mother. Go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Sword drill style. Get there. Mark 7. Kids new in the youth department, like, what's a sword drill? What is he talking about? Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Mark 7:10. For Moses said, together out loud, ready? Honor thy father and thy mother. One more time, together. Honor thy father and thy mother. Go to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. And verse 20. Luke 18:20, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Together out loud, ready? Honor thy father and thy mother. One more time, together. Honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children. I'm not a child, I'm a teenager. Well, you're not fully an adult, you're not fully a child, you're becoming adult, but the word applies. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Together out loud, ready? Honor thy father and mother. One more time. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. How many of you know that if your mom tells you something more than one time, you'd better pay attention? Do you know that? How many of you know that if your mom or your dad uses your middle name when they call you, then you better really pay attention? Let me tell you something. If God says something over and over and over and over in the Word of God and directs it especially to young people, I think that ought to make you sit up straight. It ought to make you pay attention. And you need to say, I really need to get this, because God doesn't stutter. It's in the Bible for a reason. It's in the Bible for a purpose. Over and over in Scripture, God says in His Word, honor thy father and thy mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments. The word honor means, are you listening? It means to esteem highly. It means to confer distinction upon. It means to show great love and great respect for. To show great love and great respect for. Honor. Honor. It means this. My parents are special in my life. It means this: my parents are exalted in my life. We've got a problem in this country. We have young people that are worshiping their friends. Now listen to me. I'm not anti-friends, but I'm pro-parents. And there's too many young people that your friends are more important to you than your own parents. And you focus more on friends and you care more about friends than you do even your own mom and dad. That's backwards. That's out of order. That's not God's plan. That's not God's intent. Simple thought, God hates disrespect. Look at Exodus chapter 21. God hates disrespect. I mean, he doesn't just not like it. God hates disrespect. Exodus 21 and verse 15. Now, I know this was under the Old Testament law and that Old Testament economy, but I want you to look and see what God said in the law. Exodus 21, 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. I had a young man in our church at one point, and he was hitting his mom. What a sorry, low-life young, I'm not even going to call him a young man. That's a terrible thing. In the Old Testament, he would have been killed for that. He would have been put to death. Look at verse 17. Well, I would never hit my mom. I'd never hit my dad. How about 17? And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If they had cursed their mom or cursed their dad. Now, I hope you never cursed. But I wonder what you've said bad about your mom. I wonder if you've said something bad about your dad to the point that in the Old Testament you would have been put to death for it. See, I think God takes this idea of disrespect pretty seriously. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Get there quickly. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. The Bible says there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. You know, sadly, I think we're in that generation. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. God hates it when a teenager disrespects his or her parents. God hates it when you dishonor your parents. It's one of the signs of the last time. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's sad. It's pitiful. It's pathetic that so many parents in this nation are being disrespected by their own children. You need to make sure you're not in the group of young people that are not honoring their parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, I'll pick it up. This know also that in the when, talk to me, last days. When? Last days, perilous times shall come. Well, what are going to be the signs of that? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and then underline this statement, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Now, I think permissive parenting is killing this nation. I wish more moms and dads, parents, are you listening? I wish they more would just step up to the plate and grab the reins and rule and reign in that family the way that they should. But I'll tell you one reason why we've got so much messed up stuff going in our homes. It's because young men and young ladies that ought to know better are whining about and complaining about the rules that their parents have instituted for them. And parents are caving and parents are giving in. And young people think, well, it's not really that bad because my mom or dad said yes, but it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't their will. And maybe they didn't have parents to train them how to be good parents. And really what you're doing by getting your way is disobeying. And I say that because I don't want somebody to sit there and say, well, you know, I don't disobey. No, but you push and push and push until you get what you want and not what your mom or your dad really wanted in the first place. To me, that's just like disobedience. And God said in the last days, it would be commonplace in the culture. And you know, evil communication sometimes corrupt our good manners. And some of you, you get your education about how you're supposed to act as a teenager by the television and the movies that you watch. And because today dads are mocked on television and moms, you know, they're just somebody to supply money and they're sometimes disrespected on television. Some of you think that's the way to act. Hey, that's not the way to act. That's not what God wants. And it's wrong and it's sinful. Now, I realize in this room that there are all types of family situations here. I understand some of you live with just your mom. I understand some of you live with just your dad. Some of you live with your grandparents. Some of you have been adopted. Some live in foster homes, no doubt in a crowd this size. Some of you have both your real dad and your real mom, biological parents, but a lot of different family situations are here. For this sermon, I do want you to think about your biological mom and your biological dad, your real parents. But if you've got one of those different situations, I also want you to think about whoever it is that's helping to raise you up. Whoever it is that's helping to train you up for the Lord. Somebody cares about you, or you want to be at this youth conference. It might be a bus captain. It might be a youth pastor. I hope it's your own mom and dad. But whatever the situation, I want you to think about your own parents, but I also want you to think about those people that are helping to train you and raise you up. Whoever those folks are, listen to me, they're special. You say, well, why are they so special? Because it's your mom.
Yep.
And because it's your dad. And God didn't make a mistake when he put you in the family that he put you in. Are you with me? And you can still serve God whatever your family situation. The book title is The Dad I Wish That I Had Had. But even though dad may not have been all that he was supposed to be, the young man grew up still having a heart for God. So you can't use it as an excuse tonight. Well, this message doesn't really apply to me because you don't know my mom or you don't know my dad. No, but God does. And God didn't give any clause in the Bible that says you can dishonor or disrespect your parents if they're not perfect parents. There's no perfect teenager. So if you're not perfect, why is it that you think it's your mom and your dad have to be perfect, or you don't have to honor them? It's wrong thinking. You should feel your parents are the greatest parents in the world. Absolutely. You should say, my parents are the greatest parents. Say it together out loud. Ready? My parents are the greatest parents. Well, I don't know about that. Well, listen, you used to feel that way. Come on now. How many of you ever said when you were young, my dad can beat up your dad? Come on, get your hands up. You know you did. My dad can beat up your dad. Man, when you're young, you think your dad is awesome. When you're young, you think your dad is everything. I can remember there was a parade going by. And back in the 70s, my dad wasn't even saved then. And he had the big lamb chop sideburns. You all seen those things? And my dad, he was fit and he was in shape. And he kind of looked like Superman, the old Clark Kent. And he had a Superman t-shirt on. And he had gone over to get some snacks, and he crossed, like, across the street through the parade route. And all the people were cheering out, yeah, Superman, yeah, Superman. Hey, in my world, he was Superman. He could do great things, like take a football, and he could take it, and he could punt it over the house. And I look now, and I think, well, that wasn't much of a punt. But back then, to a kid, man, you think, wow, he should be in the NFL. And you used to think your dad was awesome, and you used to think your mom was wonderful. What happened? Let me say this. I appreciate when young people come up, teenagers come up and say, hey, Brother Clark, would you sign my Bible? That's an honor, and I appreciate that. But you know, I and even other preachers and youth pastors, many times we've done nothing for you as compared to your mom or as compared to your dad. And you run up to us and you want to honor us and we appreciate it. And will you sign my Bible? But then you go home and treat your mom like dirt and you treat your dad like dirt. Hey, don't come running up to me to ask me to sign your Bible like I'm all that when I've done nothing for you as compared to your own mom and dad, and you just throw them under the bus. We've got it backwards. You know, it's a sad thing. If the youth pastor goes to your mom or goes to your dad and says, man, your son, Bobby, old Bobby, he's just been really doing a great job around the church, and he's been helping me out, and man, his spirit and attitude is wonderful, and he's helping with youth conference. If the youth pastor goes to your mom or dad and says stuff like that, and then your mom or dad looks at the youth pastor and says, are you sure you have the right boy? Are you talking about my son? It's a problem, young people. If you can come here and be Mr. Youth Group or Miss Youth Group, and you can come and you know how to listen to preaching, and you know how to help the youth pastor, and you can help the youth pastor's wife, oh, what can I help you to do, Miss Youth Pastor? What can I help? And then with your mom and dad, you don't want to do anything. Are y'all with me? We've got Baptist celebrities here amongst the youth departments, and you know how to put it on real good for all of us, but on the home front, how you live it. I mean, if we had a reality show going on here where there was a camera in your car when mom and dad are there, there was a camera in your home when mom or dad are there, and we put it up here on the screens, would you be embarrassed? Would your youth pastor be shocked? Would your own pastor hang his head? Honor thy father and thy mother. Say, Brother Clark, this doesn't sound like a typical first night youth conference message. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of you that know how to come to youth conferences and get excited. There's a lot of you that know how to use these altars. There's a lot of you that out the church house or at the Christian school or on a youth activity, you act like you've got it together, but at home you're a mess. You don't have the right type of a team and be in the game. There's something called chemistry. You can't have a winning team without having good chemistry. Some of you follow the World Cup just a little bit. I picked up the Wall Street Journal today from the hotel. And there's this big article about France. Right now, the French team is falling apart because they're revolting against the coach. And in the middle of the World Cup on Sunday, this is actually kind of a good thing, they refused to practice. I was talking about not that they refused to practice, but they didn't practice on Sunday. But here it is, the French team's falling apart. Why? Because there's a lack of chemistry and there's a lack of harmony. You know one reason our churches don't reach their full potential? Do you know why some young people don't reach their full potential? Because we've got bad chemistry at home because of young people that worship their friends and act like their mom and dad are just some bother to them. Now, some of you need to take the mask off tonight, and I want to see you get in the game, but we can't go any further than this point because it's a direct message from God's word, especially to young people, honor thy father and thy mother. And some of you need to stop making excuses, and you need to start making changes. Tonight, get your game face on. Get serious about it. Simple thought, you've heard it before, no doubt. If you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. If you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. Say it together. If I'm not right with my parents, then I'm not right with God. One more time. If I'm not right with my parents, then I'm not right with God. Well, I go team soul winning. Well, that's good, but are you right with your parents? Well, I work on a bus route. Fantastic. There's not a better thing that a teenager can do during their teenage years than to work on a bus route. Fantastic. And I'm proud of you, and I'm glad you do, but do you honor your parents? Well, you know, Brother Charlie, I've been called to preach. That's good, but do you honor your parents? Well, I help with the Sunday school, but do you honor your parents? Well, I'm a willing nursery worker, but do you help with your parents? Well, I'm Mr. Youth Department. I'm Miss Youth Group. But do you honor your father? Do you honor your mother? I don't care what you do. If you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. On the inside in your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. We watch you, we look at you, we say, oh, that's a sharp young person. Wonder if God has the same opinion. Check this out. Sit up. Follow me. God does not look at your outside and think you're a sharp young person if you're dishonoring your mother and dishonoring your father. If you want to be a great Christian, it starts with you becoming a great son. It starts with you becoming a great daughter. Are y'all with me? I need some of you guys and girls that front everything's okay, but at home it's different, to think seriously tonight about whether you're really right with God. Well, you just don't understand my situation. Again, no, I don't, but God does. And you know what I'm glad about? I know a lot of young people that overcome the obstacles. It's not your job to fix your parents' problems. And I know a lot of situations that would make you weep. I know a lot of situations where it's hard for the young people to live for God. Sometimes it's because they don't have a saved mom or a saved dad. Sometimes they got one parent wanting to live for God and another parent doesn't want to live for God. And I could go on and on and on and on, and I could listen to the sad stories tonight, and it would make the men on this platform, some of them would weep if they heard your story. And I don't deny those stories, but you still need to honor them and you still need to love them because it's what the Bible says. Look at Luke chapter 2 quickly. Luke 2. Well, he's not my real dad. He's not my real dad. Luke 2. 51. And he, talking about Jesus, went down with them, talking about Joseph and Mary, and came to Nazareth, and notice, and was subject unto not just Mary, but unto who? Them. Unto them. Now, Mary was his real mom. Are you with me? But we could say, I don't think it's resting the scriptures or saying anything that's dishonoring this story. We could say Joseph was like a stepdad. Jesus' father was the heavenly father. Are y'all with me? And yet Jesus, the Son of God, didn't look at Joseph and say, I don't have to listen to you. He was subject unto them. And some of you have some of these different situations, but you can still be subject unto your parents. You can still love your parents. You can still honor your parents, and it's the right thing to do. There's plenty of people that have come from rough family situations that have still gone on to live for God. My mom is a great saint of God. My mom is one of my heroes. But my mom was the oldest of 12. She had the traditional old school Catholic family. My grandfather was abusive. He was a drunk. He was abusive in every sense of the word and went to prison for it. My grandfather was shot and killed in Atlantic City. During the years when my mother was growing up, she went through all types of abuse. Young people, she wasn't even saved. But in high school, she got it in her mind that she was still going to make something of herself. So she was out working, and she got a good education. Later on, God saved her, and my mom has never let her bad family background keep her from serving God. Really, she's let it make her a better Christian. Some of you say, well, you know, I just don't understand. If God loves me, why is he letting this go on in my family? Have any of you looked around at your public school or outside when you go door knocking and seen all the messed up families? Do you understand that those of you that are going through tough times and you've had some rough family stuff, God's going to use that in your life so that you can better connect with a hurting world that's lost hope about their own lives, and you're going to be able to go out there and say, I understand. It's called empathy. It's called compassion when you're having others hurt in your heart. And some of you are going through something right now as a teenager, and God's going to use you down the road to make a difference in the lives of others. Hey, don't get bitter at God. Get better for God. God's working a plan. Don't get mad at God. It's important. I'll just say quickly, before you can be the right son or right daughter, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You say, Brother Clark, what does that word saved mean? Well, it's a Bible word. Maybe you're here tonight with the youth department. You just started coming to the church. And you're coming here. And you like the excitement. But you hear some of this stuff you never heard before. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't be the right son or daughter until you become God's son or God's daughter. Say, what do you mean? Well, we're all sinners. We all deserve hell. Every one of us. We all deserve to be punished. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But God loved you so much that he sent his own son to die on the cross. Around 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus. And Jesus was not just like anybody else. He was the God-man. He was God in a human body. And he died on a cross and he shed his blood. You say, why did he do that? He did it for you. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He knew you would live. He knew that you'd be a sinner. Sin is anything you do wrong. And everybody here has done things wrong. We all deserve to go to hell. But Jesus wants to save you from your sin. And Jesus wants to save you from hell. And if you want to be the right son or daughter, you need to get saved. sometime in this conference, hopefully tonight, I'd love to see you trust Christ. Can I give you some real practical things? I know we don't have a lot of time, and I'm going to run through these quickly. I want you all to stay with me. I'm going to throw a bunch of things your way. And youth pastors, don't get nervous. Again, I this is not what you'd call a dynamic youth message in the sense of a first night conference message. I'm not here to impress. I want to help. And I don't feel like we can get some of the other stuff that the pastors and preachers have unless we get this settled right now. Because it's like the elephant in the living room that we just don't talk about enough, that we've got a lot of kids that we can look at our youth department and say, man, I've got some sharp kids in my youth department. I don't care what they look like in your youth department. What do they look like at home? Are y'all with me? I'm going to give you young people these things quickly. I'm going to give them to you quickly. I'm slurring my words a little bit because it's 12:15 in New Jersey. It's after midnight. So I'm trying to get my mouth to catch up with my brain or vice versa, however that's working right now. Number one, pray for your parents. I'm going to hit these quickly. Pray for your parents. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for your parents? That is so simple, isn't it? I mean, is it your daily practice to pray for your parents? Have you made it a habit? I mean, if I said right now, stand up if you prayed for your mom, prayed for your dad today, would you be able to stand? Well, it's youth conference day, and we, you know, I didn't really think about it today. Okay, but is it your regular habit to pray for your mom, to pray for your dad? The family that prays together, what? Stays together. That's not just for parents to pray for the kids. That's for kids to pray for their parents. Number one, pray for your parents. You know who you pray for? The people that you love. If you pray for all your friends at school, but you don't pray for your parents, that shows your priorities. Mom and dad ought to be somebody that's prayed for every day. Number two, here you go, quickly. Obey your parents without complaint or argument. Obey your parents without complaint or argument. Go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to get real practical tonight, and I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I'm not here just to beat you up. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, here's what the Bible says. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, you ought to obey your parents without complaint or argument. It ought to be yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You ought to have the right countenance. You ought to have a good attitude. You ought to obey your parents without... Hey, why is it your mom tells you to do something? Oh, mom. Hey, shut your mouth, brother. That's your mom. You shouldn't disrespect. Shouldn't backtalk your mom. Obey your parents and obey them immediately without complaint or argument. Well, you know, you don't ever make my brother. Hey, be quiet. It's not your job to wonder whether or not your brother's getting enough work. You just need to do what your mom has told you to do, what your dad has told you to do. And it's awesome to see young people that have learned instant obedience to whatever mom or dad says. Some of you are more obedient to your pastor than you are to your mom. I mean, a brother Trevor told some of you North Valley kids, son, I need you to this. Man, yes, sir, yes, sir. You hop to it. Your mom says the same thing. Oh, mom, what's the problem? Are you kidding me? Now, I believe we ought to revere and respect and honor and obey the man of God. Don't get that wrong. I'm not saying don't listen to the preacher. I am saying listen to your mom. And how about doing it without complaint or argument, without attitude? Three, do what you're supposed to do before they even ask you to do it. Do what you're supposed to do before they even ask you to do it. Preach the Bible. I already did and am. Honor thy father and thy mother. And do all things without murmurings and disputings. You need to obey and do what you're supposed to do before they even ask you to do it. How about the common jobs? How many of you young men, it's your job to take out the trash? Can I get a witness right there? Absolutely. Come on, some of you are a little bit sleepy. Stand up quickly. Hustle. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Spin in a circle three times right now. Spin, 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 spin. Don't look at me. Spin. Let's go. Let's go. All right, sit down. Sit down. Come on. I've got to go to the bathroom. You can wait. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm so glad that I don't look like you. Hey, boys, on the count of three, give me what day is trash day, garbage day at your house. One, two, three. Y'all know what the day is. Hey, you know what the day is. So why is it on that day your mom's standing over top of you with a broom or a bat? Take the trash out. Take the trash out. Hey, You're a sorry loser of a son if your mom's got to tell you every week to do the job that you know it's your responsibility. That's not honoring your mother. That's not honoring your mother. Some of you are so sorry you make your mother drag the trash cans out. Hey, girls, some of these boys, they're pumping iron. Hey, if they're not willing to pull the trash can, make their mom do it, you better run from a guy like that. I said you better run from a guy like that. Unless you like the smell of trash. Come on now. Hot summer day, opening up the can. He'll make you clean the maggots out of the can. Oh, no, you just don't know my man. Oh, yeah, ask his mother. She knows your man. Come on. Ladies, how many of you wash the dishes? Modern day, 2010. How many of you load them in the dishwasher? If your dad has to come home, come on now, and Monday's dishes are here, and Tuesday's, and I don't mean clean. I mean there's food hanging off of it, and there's little fungi growing on it there, and Wednesday's here, and he says, well, I think I'll just use a paper plate. Then you're a sorry daughter. You know it's your job. Come on. You know what honors your parents? When you do what you're supposed to do before they even ask you to do it. Absolutely. You know what causes an amazing amount of stress in the home? Homework. Literally. Your dad goes off to work. He works all day long. He comes home, and the first thing that meets him at the door is your mom saying he won't do his homework. Now, you're 16 years old, and your father, who has to work all day, instead of coming home, be able to have a stress-free atmosphere, you're one of the key reasons there's stress in your family because you're too lazy to do your own homework. I don't care what number you had on your bus route. I don't care how many doors you knocked on. I don't care how many hours you put into youth conference preparation. Did you do your homework? Here's one. Four, be thankful to your parents and express your thankfulness. Boy, we've got a plague in this nation of unthankfulness. We're living in the age of entitlement. Everybody thinks they're owed what it is that they have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. Brother Treber, I want to find out God's will. Here it is. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. Some of you are searching for God's will. What you mean is you want the right wife. Come on now. Hey, if you don't do the will of God now, what makes you think you're going to get the will of God later? And it's real clear, in everything, give thanks. In everything. Mom, what are we having for dinner? And she named something that's not your favorite. Oh, Mom, are you kidding? Hey, shut your mouth or learn how to cook. Come on. Oh, Mom. I hear that stuff. Man, it's so frustrating. Kids today, hey, let me tell you something. Nobody owes you anything. And if your mom and dad provide for you, then you ought to have a spirit of thankfulness. There's some of you that today you got dropped off at the church by your mom or your dad, and your mom pulled out $20 of hard-earned money and gave it to you for spending money, and you didn't say thank you. You said, is that all? Hey, it doesn't have to be, is that all? You could get a job. But until you learn how to get a job and you're fully dependent on your hardworking mom, some of you got a single mom, then shut up about the 20 bucks and say nothing but thank you, Mom. It's more than I deserve. Yes, thanks for the ride, Mr. Youth Pastor Bus Driver. Thank you for the ride. You're welcome. You ever thank your mom for the ride? Mom's taxi cab. You ever thank Mom for the ride? You ever thank Dad for the ride? Are you really a grateful teenager? Are you really grateful? Do you really care? If I could right now put your mom picture up on the screen with a teleconference. If I said, Brother Borf, work this out. We're gonna have a teleconference right now. And all of a sudden, you're sitting where you're at, and all of a sudden, there's your mom. Hi, Mom. Woo! You're checking out Mom up on the screen. And I said, Mom, could you go to that dresser drawer where you keep your son's thank you notes that he's written to you through the years that you've saved? And Mom, would you here for the youth conference read us just a couple? I know that's probably a large dresser drawer because he writes so many through the years. Could you just read us maybe one or two that aren't too personal, that just express his gratitude and appreciation? I hope your mom wouldn't start like trying to back away from the camera. Well, you know, he's a good boy. He just doesn't express it, you know, by writing it. No, the problem is she'd be making excuses for you because you don't express it at all. Here's one. Don't be selfish. Think about your parents' needs. Look at John 19. Don't be selfish. Think about your parents' needs. John 19. It's his hour. It's his passion. Are y'all looking at me? He's got nails in his hands. He's got nails in his feet. He's got a crown of thorns on. Are you listening? This is not just a story. This actually happened. This is not Hollywood. We're talking about the cross. He's been beaten to a bloody pulp, hardly recognizable as a man. And he's hanging there on the cross, gasping for air, close to death. Can you imagine the pain that was going on? And on top of that, he who knew no sin was becoming sin for us. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he had this excruciating pain going on. And what did he do right in the middle of all of this? Look at verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. He wasn't thinking about his pain. He wasn't thinking about the burden he was carrying. From the cross, he looked down and he saw his mother. And he said, John, take care of my mom. Mom, John's going to take care of you. You ever think about your mom? Besides the times when you need something? Are you unselfish or are you selfish? Do you think about your parents' needs? You know, there's a lot of pressure on parents. I mean, they're trying to survive in the work world. It's intense. I mean, they're going to work some 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And you young people, some of you have never been out in the workforce. And because of the economy and everything that's going on, bosses are leaning on people. And they're around unsaved people with cursing and swearing and lying and cheating and all kinds of garbage going on. And they've got to deal with that. And then they're trying to serve in their local churches, many of them. And I know some of you, your mom and dad's not even saved, but there's a majority, I would estimate, that your parents are trying to serve in the local church and give themselves, and they're trying to take care of you. There's a lot of pressure. Do you ever think about their needs? Here's one. Be forgiving towards your parents. Be forgiving towards your parents. And I'll hurry. Well, you don't know what they did. You're right. And sometimes it's hard. But if Jesus could say about us, Father, forgive them, and those who are putting him on the cross, Father, forgive them. And if he can say even this, love your enemies, whatever your situation is, you need to forgive. Watch me now. Some of you would get so much more out of this youth conference this week if you would let God help you get the bitterness out of your heart tonight. My dad left me. My mom, she's on drugs. And I can't depend on her. And I end up taking care of my little brothers and sisters. There's a lot of stories in this room that could easily give you a reason to think, well, it's okay for me to stay mad at my mom, to stay mad at my dad, to be bitter. I'm going to be bitter and I hate them. Hey, that's not right. And I know you're going to need grace, but God can give you grace. You can forgive. Watch me. You need to forgive. Some of you have extreme situations, but you know what's sad? Some of you, your mom or dad did some little thing. And you think it's your right. Just, I'm done with her. Hold on. Time out. Do you realize what you just said? That's your mom or your dad. And teenagers aren't perfect. What? Let me ask you a question. What if your mom and dad were just kind of done with you every time you did something wrong? You'd all be done. Come on now. Absolutely. Adjust your halo and tell the truth. You'd all be done. No love like a mother's love. A man can go to the electric chair. You know who always shows up? Mom. Mom has an unfailing, undying love. I believe young people ought to have that towards their parents, even when parents let them down. Here we go, quickly. Speak only good about your parents and be loyal. Speak only good about your parents and be loyal. Man, I'm telling you, nothing makes me more mad than to watch a young person talk. Well, you know, she said I can't go. She is your mother, my brother. He won't let me go. Hey, he is your father, and he's probably protecting you. Be quiet. Everybody's got dirty laundry. We don't need to show it to the whole neighborhood. Some of you ought to take some more pride in your family name and stop gossiping about your own mom and dad. If you don't have something good to say, your mother taught you this, don't say anything at all. Now, if you need help from a pastor or a counselor, if there's some extreme situation, I'm not encouraging you to get in some hurtful deal where other people get hurt also. But the majority of the time is just because, watch me, hey, you're texting about how you don't like your mom. Come on now. You're insane if you put up Facebook quotes about, you know, how terrible your parents are and advertise that to the whole wide world. You're crazy. Speak only good about your parents and be loyal. Here's one, buy your parents gifts. This is the first night of youth conference, I understand. I said buy your parents gifts. Here's one, if you girls don't know what your dad's favorite candy bar is, you're not right with God. Simple enough. What do we use the altar about tonight? I need to find out my dad's favorite candy bar. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Jesus took care of his mom and dad. Joseph, are y'all with me? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ-like person. I'm a follower of Christ. Then let me see your relationship with your mom and dad. He was subject unto them. When's the last time you bought your mom or dad a gift? Come on now. Hey, boys, when's the last time you bought your mom flowers? Some of you girls better be careful. Oh, my man on Valentine's Day. Oh, my man bought me flowers. What'd he buy his mother? What'd he buy his mother? Hey, yesterday was Father's Day. How you living? How'd you do? Now, what's sad, I understand. I keep giving these clarifying statements. Some of you have never met your dad. Some of you have never been close to your dad. But there's a bunch of you. He was at the house yesterday. What you do? I don't have money. You're lying. They always have money, Brother Boar. For whatever they want to do, they have money. Come on now. Y'all get styling sneakers? You don't have, got our little Bobos going on tonight, Brother Tim, right? Listen, hey. No, they're cool. I'm only kidding. Joe Trell told me to say that. Listen now. You have money for McDonald's every time you want it. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Absolutely. You find money for what you want. You turn over the cushions on the couch there and you find change. Come on now. Right, right, right. Some of you rob convenience stores. When you need money, you find money. I don't have any money. Hey, flowers aren't that expensive, boys. Run down to the cemetery. Borrow it off somebody's gravestone. Take... Come on now. If I had that same mom up on the screens, I said, when's the last time your son bought you a gift? Amen, amen. Here we go, quickly. Do special things for your parents. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean special things for your parents. Have y'all noticed there's like 50,000 special things going on at this youth conference for your kids? Are y'all with me? I mean, we got confetti on the $50 million pianos. We got the goalpost action going on. We've got the turf going on. I mean, there's like, if you open your eyes, there's like 50,000 things going on for you here. AFC teams, that's sad and pitiful. We need the Eagles up there, but. Hey, when's the last time your dad drove around the corner onto his home street and there were poster board signs on the telephone pole? I mean, is poster board expensive? No, it's not expensive, right? I mean, when's the last time the greatest dad in the world lives at, and then the address is there, my dad's awesome, and he pulled in, and man, there were things ready, come on now, and it was all going on, and you girls were just excited about it for your dad. Oh, but you know. Now watch me. Hey, you'll go out there and you'll cheer for some 15-year-old zit-faced boy that can't hit a free throw. Johnny, he's our man. Let's give him a great big hand. And then your dad comes home and you don't even hardly look at him when he walks in the door. Y'all remember it back in the day, Saturday morning, and it was a special occasion, and you had your little brothers and sisters in the kitchen, right? And man, you cracked some eggs in the pan there, and you forgot about them to turn the heat on, and they were just there in the pan. And you burnt some toast there, come on, right? You poured some Cheerios in the milk, and the milk was right near with the oven when you finally turned the oven on, and it heated the milk, and the Cheerios swelled up like tires, right? And you brought it all in on the tray, and you gave, and your dad was going to go golfing, but he heard you in the kitchen, so he stayed in bed and waited, missed his tea time, and you came walking in there, and, Mommy, Daddy, we made you breakfast in bed, right? And Mommy said to Daddy, look, honey, what they made you. And Daddy slurped down those Cheerios, and Mom had some burnt toast with the teeth there, blackened there, and Dad ate those raw eggs and had salmonella, come on. But there was a day, oldest child, when you led your little brothers and sisters in honoring your father and honoring your mother, and now you lead them in disrespecting them by your example. Oh, you're a big boy now. You're 15, you're 16, you're a little bit taller than your mom. So you think it's your right to disrespect her and back talk. Hey, how about doing something nice, something special that you just dreamed up on your own? You know, this theme took a little creative thinking, and it took a little extra work. Some of your parents would have a stroke if they went home and you did these things. I've got to finish. Try to make your parents proud of you by doing God's will and their will for your life. What I'm talking about is this. Some of you have a mom and dad that really want you to live for God. Don't let them down. I'm going to make a simple statement. I was not a perfect teenager, but there were some times when there was crossroads in my teenage years, and it may not even have been that I loved God so much, as compared to I didn't want to let my mom and my dad down, and that encouraged me to stay on the right path. Some of you ought to be so close to your parents that if you sometimes get in that middle section of kids that aren't really on fire for the Lord the way you should be, that you'd still never want to let them down. Never. Encourage your parents. I already said it. Let your parents know that you need them. I said let your parents know that you need them. I'm almost done. Stay with me. I've gone long. Let your parents know that you need them. What do you mean by that? Well, you do need them. Oh, you don't understand, my brother. I'm rolling a job at McDonald's now, and I'm making my minimum wage. And last week, my manager gave me 12 hours, and my take-home pay was about $40. And you know, now I just don't really need my mom and dad. That doesn't even pay for your PlayStation electric bill. Are you with me? Some of you boys go home, you crank up the air conditioner. There's no magic genie that pays that electric bill. And your 40 just ain't going to cut it. You ought to let your parents know that you need them. Here's one, quickly, let your parents know that you like them. Spend time with your parents. You plan something that they like to do. How about this? Talk to your parents. You know one of the biggest complaints, youth pastors here, my kid doesn't talk to me. My kid won't talk to me. Oh, they talk to you, they don't talk to me. Come on, y'all know how it is. Youth conference, you won't shut up from the time you get here to the time you leave. You with me? I mean, you'll talk on the ride here. You'll talk during the service if you can get away with it. Some of you, no, I'm only kidding. And then you talk at the hotel, and it's 2 in the morning. You won't shut up, and the youth workers threaten to kill you. And you talk and through it all, and you don't shut up. And the ride home, you talk 4 days straight. You just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You get to the church. You get out of the vehicle. You get in your own car. Your mom's there. How did the conference go? Okay. This is where we're living. I'm a youth pastor. I'll be 21 years youth pastor in August. I know what I'm talking about. Well, what did you do, honey? Stuff. What kind of stuff? Well, stuff. That's your two-word answer. Can I say this? And CLA is not here. What you deserve is a crack in the teeth. Brother Clark, do you espouse violence sometimes? What kind of a sorry teenager runs their jaws with their friends all week long at a youth conference, and then you go home for your mother who's prayed for you and paid for you, and you give her one-word answer? She birthed you into the world, brother. Wake up. Wake up. Be open towards correction and discipline. If you messed up, you messed up. Stop lying about it. Stop blaming somebody else. Take your punishment and roll on and stop saying, my parents are too rough on me. No, they're not. The rules are simple. Follow them. Here you go. Be content with your family's conditions and don't be embarrassed about them. I meet young people that don't really like their mom and dad because mom and dad don't have the same car that their friend's parents have. And your mom comes by the school after she's dropped you off and maybe you forgot something, she's going to run it in. And you're all embarrassed because, you know, mom's clothes aren't quite. Hey, why don't you look at the name tag and name brands on your clothes, and don't you ever be embarrassed about your mom who gives to you so you can have all the cutting edge stuff and she herself goes without. Hey, don't ever be embarrassed about your mom or your dad. Don't ever be. Be trustworthy and honest. Be trustworthy and honest. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, like you that had your mom say to you before you left, when you go to that youth conference, I don't want you to be near that girl. And you're sitting near her right now. You're sitting near her right now. Sure you are. Well, mom's not here, but no, God's watching. And God heard your mom. And the sad point is, some of your parents can't trust you as far as they can throw you. You know, you ought to live all the time when your parents are there or when your parents aren't there just the way they would have you to live. You ought to be trustworthy and honest. Relationships are built on trust, and some of you have broken your parents' trust. You ought to be working to rebuild that every single day of your life. Those of you that have the trust, don't ever break it. It's a terrible thing to sit in an office and watch mothers weep sad, hot tears on their face because their son or their daughter was doing something that they can't believe, that they're shocked about. Be trustworthy and honest. Hug your parents. Hug your parents. My daughter's on the front row. Christiana's down here. Wave, Christiana. There we go. Hug your parents. When she was little, you know, you had a little snuggle monster thing and all this good stuff. Hey, hug your parents. When's the last time you hugged your parents? Kiss your parents. Kiss your parents. What do you mean by that? Listen to me. I'm 42 years old. I see my father. I hug my father. I kiss him on the cheek. He'll kiss him on the cheek. Hug your parents. Kiss your parents. Tell your parents you love them every day. Tell your parents you love them. Say it. Say it. Well, they know I love them. Say it anyway. Say it anyway. You know, there's no love like a parent's love. My Aunt Vicky was driving someone to a train. She left the train station. There was a rainstorm. She took a side street she was not used to being on. At the end of the street, there was construction going on that led right into a lake that had really become a river because of the rains that were going on. She didn't see the barrier things. There actually wasn't a barrier there. She went up over the curb barrier. And her car went into that stream river at that point. She was able to get out of the car and take my cousin Gregory at that point, probably about 6 or 7 years old. The last house on the street had seen the lights go by and a man had gone to the bank. The last thing my Aunt Vicky did was to push my cousin Gregory into that man's hands as the waters take her under and she drowned. My aunt was just over 30 years old. She gave her life for her son and never thought twice about it. I know your parents aren't perfect, but they do love you. And you need to love them and you need to tell them. Last point, appreciate them now because you're not always going to have them. Appreciate them now because you're not always going to have them. I could give illustration after illustration after illustration. I went to a high school graduation just a couple of weeks ago. A young man, this is a strange thing. One senior boy in the school graduating, one eighth grader graduating, one kindergarten graduating. They were all three siblings. Their dad died of cancer about 3 or 4 years ago. But you know what those young people are doing? They're still living for God. And you know what's awesome? They're not full of regret. Last story I'll give you, I'm done. I was at a hospital. One of our members had died with a heart attack. And I was there at the bedside, body blue, tube coming out of the mouth. A girl, a daughter, was there, and speaking to her mother said, with tears coming in her eyes, Mom, no regret. No regret. I don't have any regret, Mom. I went to the elevator, wait for the son. He came off. Christian school graduate. Went to the bedside, fell on the bedside, began to weep. His father's last words were, I couldn't even do a good job of raising my son. I couldn't even do a good job of raising my son. And that son was a reproach on the name of his dad. You better appreciate your parents. You're not always going to have them. Father, I pray you'd help us now. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts. All different situations here. God, I pray you'd work in hearts.